This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Well, as Pastor Allen said, happy Father's Day to all our guys, and a shout out to all the men here today. We appreciate you. We have guys that serve in our Ark Kids, our Ark Student Ministry, our adult ministries. They help out with our ushering. They do all the things in the parking lot and the cart ministries. We have active men here in the church, so let's give all those guys a hand. Appreciate all of you guys. This is your day, and so we're here to celebrate dads. But I believe the message I have today for everybody is going to be for everybody, regardless if you're married, single, man, woman. I believe there's some principles in God's Word that all of us can learn from. Well, you're supposed to have a guest speaker, Gene McGuire, a guy I've known for over 35 years. He was in prison in Pennsylvania and had a life sentence, and God pardoned him and paroled him and allowed him to get out of prison after those 35 years. And I was telling that to the early congregation, and they thought they meant that I was in prison with him. That was not the case. I visited him along with another guy, and he has a powerful testimony. But last weekend, he got ill, actually had a stroke. And we found out on Monday, and so I'm your substitute today. And I'm going to share a little bit about the history of my family, because I think some of you think Pastor Al and I get up front and we share and we speak that there's a long line of Christians in our household and our legacy is that way. But I want to tell you, it's not so in my household. I'm a second-generation Christian. And recently I was with my mom and dad, and we were in Florida on a family vacation celebrating our youngest daughter's 30th birthday. And one of those rare opportunities to sit down with my dad, and I don't know about your family, but when we got together as family, we loved to tell stories. And the stories always get a little bit bigger, a little bit longer, you know, and a little bit more to them. But one story, I was just talking to my dad. My dad's the opposite of me. My dad's an introvert, very quiet, very shy. And so I have to do most of the talking when I'm around my dad. And so I'll pull out questions from him every now and then. And when I was a teenager, like most teenagers, we thought our parents didn't know anything back then, right? Remember those days? Oh, mom and dad, they don't know anything. They're out of touch. They're out of this. But now as I'm getting older, my dad's now in his 80s. Now I love getting around my dad and gleaning from him. What's the wisdom I can get from my dad? So I asked him a couple questions. I said, Dad, any regrets in your life? And my dad goes, no, man, no regrets. I said, well, what's the thing you're most proud of, Dad? And my dad started to tear up. And I thought, well, okay, where's this going? He starts tearing up. He goes, well, I'm most proud that all of my kids, all of my grandkids, and all of my great-grandkids love God and are serving the Lord. Amen. And he said that with pride in his life, pride in what he said. But you have to understand where mom and dad came from. There is a statistic that should not be with the case. They recently celebrated their 62nd wedding anniversary as well. So they've been married a long time, so congratulations to them on that. But they didn't start that way. My mom was 15 and my dad was 18 when they got married, and 6 months later, my oldest sister was born. Mom never graduated from high school. Dad just barely graduated from high school. But you see, the story is that there's no spiritual legacy in either side of our family. No one went to church. No one else was involved in going to the church or taking their kids to church. And so at age 11, my mom came home from school, and at the bottom of the steps of the apartment that they were living in was a couple bags and a note from my grandma that says, I can no longer take care of you. Go live with your grandma. At age 11. Mom packed up a couple little belongings, walked the street to go down to grandma's house. At age 12, my dad was living with his mother in a single mom situation, and I really didn't know his father, and a guy started coming into his life, and he finally said, hey, listen, I'm your dad, but really, I don't even know if I really am your father, so that's why I haven't been around, so I'm really not quite sure where that's going. So at age 12, my dad found out, really, he didn't really know who his father was. And so, yeah, at age 15, at age 18, they fell in love, and 6 months later, my sister born. But there was no spiritual heritage on either side, and so they didn't know what to do with that, so they got a little apartment. My dad started working two different jobs, one in an auto body shop and one as the milkman. Everybody remember the time when you had milk delivered to your house? So my dad got a part-time job doing that 3 days a week, and I have two older sisters, and my one sister looks nothing like the rest of us. So we said that she was the milkman's child, and my dad was the milkman. So anyhow, you know, that's what we always tell her, you're the milkman's child, and so she kind of goes along with that. And so like most of us or some of us, there was a tragedy that started happening in our family, and I was just a little tot at the time. And I was probably 3 or 4 years old, and I got really deathly ill from a virus that was going around. It was the middle of winter, and we lived in Pennsylvania, and it was a snowstorm going on. And so my mom and dad drove me to the hospital, and as they were on the way to the hospital, they had already phoned my great aunt and great uncle, and so they knew what was going on. But got me to the hospital. They rushed me into the emergency. And they couldn't find any veins in my body that were alive yet, that were living yet, where they could feed me intravenously. So with that hope or no hope, they said to my mom and dad, they said, there's probably no hope for your son to make it. So why don't you go home, probably make it overnight. Why don't you go home to your other children and take care of them? So they said their last goodbyes to their only son, their youngest, and went home to take care of their daughters. And when they got home, my great aunt, my great uncle had arrived, and they had stopped by this little church. And I grew up in a little town. There was no traffic lights on either end of the town. We're about 4 miles away from Hershey, Pennsylvania, where they make great chocolate, and you could actually smell the chocolate being made in the outside. You know, if you were outside, you could smell it. And there was just nothing around it except for one little small little church. And my great aunt and great uncle stopped at that church, told the pastor what was going on, so he came by the house that night. And he started to talk to my mom and dad about God's love and about God and what God can do. And if they prayed, maybe God could answer their prayer. And so right there, both my mom and dad, they just kind of lifted their hands and said, God, if you are really real. Now remember, they never went to church before in their life. They said, God, if you're really real out there, if you're really real, we just pray that if you'll save our son, we will serve you the rest of our lives. 20 minutes later, there was a phone call. Doctor was on the other side, said, I don't know what happened, but in the last couple minutes, we found a vein in his body. We can intravenously feed him, and your son's going to make it. My mom and dad fell on their knees, gave their hearts to Christ right then. That's where our spiritual heritage started from. You see, my grandmother's mentioned in the Bible, and we were never allowed to go to grandma's house. Because remember the time when Jesus met with the woman and he told the woman that she was married 5 times and the man she's with isn't really her husband? That was grandma. And so we were not allowed to go to grandma's house. Okay, so you never knew who showed up or who was going to be there. So we're never allowed to do that. My mom's father, the only thing I remember about him, we went and visited him at least once a year. And he was a hunting guy, and he would, part Indian, he would go into Canada, and they would do hunting trips, and he would always tell his moose story, how he was in the woods, and the brush opened up, and this big moose was charging him, and he shot the moose, and he had the moose head antlers all over his house there, and his pool room that he had. And the only thing I remember about Grandpa was that he would be there in the pool rooms with cigarette in his mouth and always had a beer, and he'd shout out to his wife, he'd go, Ruth, get me another beer. That's the only thing I remember about Grandpa. That was the history there I had of him. And he had a bear that he shot one time, and the bear was about like this, and the bear was holding his ashtray. And so that was my spiritual heritage on that side. My dad's side of the family, of course, didn't know my grandfather there, and my dad's brother owned the bars in town. And so we had cousins the same age as my two older sisters are, and they were in and out of jail all the time. So, I mean, guys, I'm telling you, the spiritual heritage was not anywhere in sight. But when my mom and dad fell on their knees that night and said, God, we'll do what you want us to do, they didn't know where to begin. They didn't know what to do. Like many of you, they said, where do we start with that? And so I'm going to tell you 3 things that I learned from my father starting out the spiritual heritage that every single one of my sisters, all of our children and great-grandchildren now loving and serving God. How does that happen at 15 and 18? Happens with first surrendering your heart to Christ. But I'm going to give you 3 things real quick. The first thing I learned from my dad is this, is he helped us to get to know God. First thing he did was, man, life changed for us. Instead of Sunday mornings getting up and playing, we now got up every Sunday morning and we went to church every single Sunday morning. I mean, it was a ritual. For a young kid, man, little boy, man, it was like, man, we're going to church again. Yep, we went to church. Then not church wasn't enough. Then we started going to Sunday school. 2 hours. Are you kidding me? You know, 2 hours going to church. It was killing me as a young kid. You know, and so we went to this little church in our town. I remember they bought me a suit because we didn't have suits because we didn't go to church. And so I remember my navy blue suit that I had that I wore every single Sunday with the little clip-on ties. Remember those? Yeah, that was me. And I had my little crew cut, little toppers on there, and so I would go to church every single Sunday. And this is, they didn't have children's church at the time, so you sat with your mom and dad, you know, and I would sit there, and the preacher would be boring me out of my mind, and my dad would always just twat me in the head. You know, and I was like the third one over. His arm just twat me in the head, you know, and just keep me alive. But what was happening? Dad was just showing us week in and week out. I'm telling you, we didn't miss church. Then we started going to another church that not only had Sunday morning, it also had Sunday night church. And so I was in middle school at that time, and it was killing me. I mean, it was like, not just Sunday morning, but then we drive home. I get home just to watch the ball games or play outside just in time to go, come on, we're going back to church. And so that's the heritage. But my dad, he said, man, he goes, wasn't a man of many words, but what he did was he showed us by action. In fact, it says this, and I love it in John 17:6, it says, I showed, everybody say the word showed. I showed what you were like to those you gave me from the world. They belonged to you, and now you gave them to me. I looked at that word showed because that was my dad. I never remember my dad leading a Bible study. I never remember dad doing Bible studies with us. I don't remember dad doing all those things, but all I know is dad says, you know what, I'm going to show my kids by taking them to church every single time those doors were open. We went. But you know what was happening to my dad as well? There's transformation happened to him. As he was coming to church, guess what? The Word of God was getting in him. And he started to become more like Christ. Little by little by little. No example that he had. He had to make a tough decision, said, you know what, I can keep going down the path I was going on, still hanging out with the other people I was hanging out with, or I can go, you know what, I'm all in for God. And he said, I'm going to be all in for God. He started to show us what Christ was all about. I remember, man, it's things that he was beginning to show us, and I saw him start getting a little bit kinder, a little bit more love. There was a little bit more patience that he had. I remember one time patience happening, and I was a nixy little kid, and so I'd always get in trouble every now and then. And I remember one time in school. Now, our little place that we grew up, our little town, the elementary school was right behind our house. And so if I got in trouble at school, guess what happened at home? My mom somehow always found out before I got in those doors. This time I walked in the door, man, I was ready to run it upstairs and change and get out and play again. And my mom, her veins were popping. So I knew that was not a good sign. And so she started to get into me, what'd you do at school, Bobo? Get upstairs and wait till you're... You guys live my life. Yeah, wait till your father gets home. Man, it was always like, late till your father gets home. And that's what it was. And so it wasn't shortly after that, my dad came home, and my bedroom was right below, right above the kitchen. The kitchen right below me. I heard my dad walk in, and my mom was at him. You know, and all I heard, uh-huh, she was just telling what was happening. And so my dad was never fast about much. So I remember taking this time climbing the stairs. I was like in my bedroom, come on, let's just get it over with. Come on, just come and spank me, you know. But I remember the thud. Seemed like forever. He gets to the door, he goes, knocks, he goes, son, can I come in? I'm thinking, no, not really. You know, but he came in and he started doing one of these numbers. You know, your dad ever do this? He started reaching for the belt. And he started doing the belt thing, and the belt thing started to come unbuckle. He goes, tell me, son, what happened today in school? So I told him my side of the story. And he said, and his belt came all the way off. And he's holding the belt, and he kind of looked at me, he goes, that doesn't sound so bad. He goes, but your mom wants me to whip you, so this is what we're going to do. He goes, I'm going to hit that bed right there, and you scream like I'm whipping you bad. I said, there is a God, you know, hallelujah. You know, and so my dad, he hit that bed, and I screamed, ah! you know. And I did like three times. He goes, a little over the top. Let's calm it down just a little bit, you know. And so later I learned that he did that also to my sister several times. I thought I was the only one he gave grace like that to, but I heard. But what we did was we saw Dad start somewhere and grow. He started showing us the love of Christ. He became a different man on the inside. We started seeing characteristics of Christ. I love it in John 17, 10. It says this. It says, my life is on display in them. My life is on display in them. There was another time when I was even smaller than that. I was just a little kid. I was the only one at home. Two older sisters were already in school. And we were in this little half house. And so there was a kitchen and then this little archway and into the dining room. And from the dining room, you could run into the archway into the living room. And then you could run circles. And so I would be active. And so I would just be running circles all the time, driving my mom and dad crazy. And I'd be running inside. Finally, they said, let's put the sofa right here. So they put the sofa there, put a curtain by the archway so I couldn't run around and drive them crazy. I remember I was home by myself with my mom and the kids were at school, the sisters at school, and the knock on the door came. It was a salesman, an encyclopedia salesman. Remember those guys? And I heard my mom says, I don't have time for any salesman. Mom, I wish he'd just go away. And she went to the door, opened the door, and he goes, ma'am, he goes, listen, I'm an encyclopedia salesman, but if you will listen to my spiel, I'll give you a Bible. Mom didn't have a Bible. This is right after they came to Christ. And so mom says, well, come on in. I'll hear your spiel for the Bible. So he sat right down there in that couch. And this is just right after I got my first cowboy set. I had the hat. I had the badge, man. I had the holsters, the whole deal. Well, I heard my mom would say she didn't want that guy there. So I thought, I'm going to take care of the situation for her. And so I went around that little curtain thing. And all my mom says the story, she says, all she could see was the curtain open. And the salesman was sitting right there. Curtain open and little cowboy hat. And I said, I'm going to be Lone Ranger. And so I turned that gun around, popped that salesman right on the head. Salesman got dizzy, man. He gathered his stuff. He ran out. My mom never got her Bible, you know. And so I stopped my mom's spiritual growth that day, you know, not getting her Bible. Later they did. I remember Dad coming home and he heard that story and he started to get a chuckle like you guys. He goes, that's a great one, man. Wouldn't have thought of that. What am I saying is it starts somewhere in our lives, doesn't it? The spiritual journey. It starts somewhere. And my dad showed us. He never taught us, never lectured us on the word. It wasn't like he taught Bible studies anywhere. Quiet guy. But he says, kids, if you'll watch me, I'm going to keep my eyes on God. I'm going to keep growing in my faith. As he kept growing in his faith year after year after year by consistently taking us to church, God was doing something in his heart, in his life. And it was transferring to our family. It was changing our lives as well. First thing he taught us was, man, I'm just going to show you what God's love is. Second thing my dad did is he prayed for us. Now, again, as a quiet guy, his prayers were very quiet. In fact, I remember the first time at our dinner table that Dad would pray, he just kind of did one of these numbers. And we thought, all right, are we supposed to give him food? What's that about, you know? I didn't grow up religious. So he goes, come on, let's join hands. And he just said it by example. And he just sent a simple prayer. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this food. We're about to eat. He said it real quiet, so you almost had to lean in. In Jesus' name. He didn't know how to pray. Nobody showed him how to pray. But I remember after he did that time after time after time after time, year after year after year after year, my dad got bolder in his prayers. In fact, when we were older and we had our own kids and their grandkids, we'd get together for Thanksgiving meal together, a Christmas meal, and Dad would gather us all together, and you know what he did? Come on, everybody, we're going to join hands, and now Dad's praying. And now Dad's praying for every single person around that circle, all 30 of us. And he is praying for each one of us. And he knows what's going on in our lives. Oh, and help them, God, right now. I pray, you know. God, that one right there. And, you know, and he's doing that. And then we get into praying for the preacher. And then the missionaries. And I'm a young guy. And I'm looking over and I'm seeing the turkey getting colder and colder and colder, you know. As Dad's prayers are expanding. What did he do? Man, he just set the example. He didn't know how to do it. But he says, man, let's just pray. started simple prayers. You know what? Jesus did the same thing for his disciples. He says, here's a group of guys that he took that didn't know anything about really serving God. He says, I'm going to invest in them. And in John 17, he gives them five things that he prayed over their lives. Let's look at these five things that he prayed over the disciples. And I think we can learn from that whether you're first generation, second generation, third generation, man, woman, single, or married here today. This is what we can do as disciples. These are things Jesus is praying about his disciples to God. He prayed these things. Number one, that they'll live for Christ joyfully. Second thing, that they'll grow what? Spiritually. They'll serve Christ effectively. That they'll experience fellowship with God personally. And that they'll bring others to Christ on a regular basis. Now let's look at the scriptures of that, because I want you to understand this is Jesus saying, God, I know I'm soon going to leave, and I'm going to leave these guys in charge, and I'm going to leave my legacy, what I showed them for 3.5 years, Lord. I showed the disciples how to do this. Now I pray they get it. Parents, have you ever said that about your kids? I pray they what? I pray they get it. I pray through my life, what they saw, what I did, my example. I pray that it catches on to them. I pray they carry it on. Not just get it, but then take it to the what? Next level. Grow a little bit more. That's what my dad was telling me. That's what Jesus is talking to the disciples. And these are the scriptures. It says that they'll live for Christ joyfully. In verse 13, I pray these things while I'm still in the world, so that they will have the same joy that I have, that they will have joy. In verse 15, he says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. How many know that's a great prayer for our kids? Keep them safe from the evil one. Verse 17 prays this about them being effective. It says, make them ready for your service through your truth. Your teaching is true. My mom and dad, after about 5, 6 years, 7 going to that church, they started to just serve. They started to get active. Somebody asked them, said, hey, why don't you guys lead the youth groups? They led a youth group for about 10 years in our church and got active in doing Bible studies. My dad saying, hey, just like you saw my mom and I do, just start serving. The next thing they started to do is this, that they'll serve effectively, then they'll also experience fellowship with God on a personal basis, that they not just come to church, but they love God, they serve God, they know God on a personal level. And the last one, and that is my Father's, that they will be one heart and one mind, just as you and I are one, Father. And then they'll bring others to Christ regularly. John 17, 20 says this, I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me because of their message. Again, my dad, a quiet guy, not going to share and shout it out. But what he did, he just lived it day in and day out, time after time. And as he worked in that body shop, I can tell you what he was doing at 12 o'clock every day. He was sitting on a paint can about this tall. And I know he had his little bag out. And I know he was eating his cheese sandwich every single day at the same time. And the other guys in the shop were over there tearing dirty jokes or looking at dirty pictures or doing all the stuff. My dad says, you know what? I'm going to eat lunch all by myself because I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. And he started to do that. But you know what happens when you live for Christ in your office, in your place, in your work, just like my dad? There was a guy called Terry that was looking over there and going, I see Bob, I hear this. I see Bob's, how he's doing it, I see this. Pretty soon he asked my dad, says, Bob, can I join you for lunch? Terry got a can and sat next to my dad. Just start talking. Dad wasn't preaching at him, just monitoring. Pretty soon Terry was showing up at the house and helping out around the house. And pretty soon Terry was coming to church with us. Pretty soon Terry gave his life to Christ. I can tell you countless other times that happened just by my dad modeling what Christ was about. He says, listen, I'm going to show you, but I'm going to pray over you. Now, you got to watch what you pray, because we added prayers to our kids' lives. When our daughters were born, we started to pray for our future son-in-laws. Now, my future son-in-law is Brandon, who did the stewardship today. That's not my future. That is my son-in-law, okay? But that's the one we were praying for, and so we were praying for him. Now, I got to tell you, we got off to a rocky start, Brandon and I. I remember the first time that Brittany brought him home, and this could be the guy, and he thought I was a little stiff. He thought I was a little too serious, and so I was heading off to bed early, and he looked over at Brittany. He goes, Brittany, hey, your dad's a little stiff. I got to lighten him up. I'm going to run and tackle your dad in bed. Brittany's eyes got just like, no, don't do that. It'll be the last time you're here. But no, Brandon, of course, was Brandon. And so I'm in bed. First day, first time. I'm in bed, and all of a sudden, Brandon flies through the door, tackles me, throws me in bed, lays in bed with me. I'm going, oh my God. This is what we've prayed for. I thought, man, we got to be more specific when we pray. This is what type we're after, not just a Christian. We prayed that they love God and doing that. And then we, right after they graduated, we rented a place in Sanibel Island, and we were on Sanibel Island, and we were having a great time. And I remember coming out of the shower, and I just took a couple steps, and this hand reached out from under the bed and grabbed me, my future son-in-law. Now, you have to ask yourself a question. Why would I say yes to him marrying my daughter after that? Okay? We have story after story we can tell, but I can tell you this. I'm proud of the man of God that he is. We were on that same trip, and we were out in the Gulf of Mexico where you could see to the bottom. And we were out there, and we were bonding. This is before they got married. We're still there, and we're just out there kind of having fun and bonding. And now, again, this is my story, right? And so we were there, and this is right after the crocodile hunter guy had gotten killed by stingrays. Remember that way back then? And we were there, and we heard a splashing behind us. And we were about, what, 30, 40, 40, anyhow, we were out there a little bit. And we looked behind, we always see is fins from us to the shoreline. There were at least, it's no lie, there were at least 100 stingrays coming right by us. And so Brandon, the brave man he was, he snuggles up right next to me. We're out in the middle, just the two of us. And if you see, I lean one side. He was up on my shoulder trying to get him. This is my story, son, okay? And so and he was up on my shoulders, but no, this is, what do we do? So we're shuffling all the way to the beach, and people are watching us. Here's two guys right next to each other, just snuggling up, going to the beach. Be careful what you pray for, all right? But I'm proud of what God's doing in his life, proud of the husband he is, the dad he is. But it is generation to generation to generation. The third thing my dad taught me was this. He guarded our spiritual growth. Now, what does that mean, he guarded your spiritual growth? Look at this in John 17 again in verse 12. Jesus is praying, he's talking about his disciples. He says, while I'm with them, I kept them safe. By the power of your name, I protected them, and not one of them was lost except Judas, so the scriptures would be fulfilled or true. So how do we protect our kids? We prayed for them. We take them to church. But now we also need to protect them. What do? We protect their hearts. We protect their minds. You know, there's certain things that my mom and dad said, man, don't be watching that. Don't be listening to that, because they knew it was going to take us in a path that was going to be destructive, not life-building into us. And I used to think, Mom and Dad, you're fuddy-duddies, man. I'm going to listen because all the other kids are doing it. All the other kids are watching those movies. All the other kids are listening to that. My mom and dad forbid us to do it. It's not because it was a religious thing. My dad says, man, I love you so much. I want to guard your spiritual well-being. So in that, man, our house was a house full of fun. We had a blast. It wasn't just religious tight stuff. But my dad says, I know if you do that, it's not going to be good for you. How many know when we're parents, we're still the parents? Got it? How many know at times we want to give up our parenting badge every now and then when it gets tough? So my dad says, I'm going to guard what you do, and I'm going to guard who you hang out with. I'm going to guard those things because I know it could take you away from all the spiritual things that we've been pouring into your life all of these years, because we believe God has a great plan and purpose for your life. And it happened in our kids' lives as well. Our youngest daughter, 30 years old now, when she was a high school senior, I'm going to close with this. She got real rebellious. Some things started to happen in her school. Some things started to happen. I mean, she's a lot like her father. And so we went head to head all the time. And man, we just went at it. And I'm kind of the accordion dad. My rules were this. If you show me you're going to make great decisions, I'm going to give you a little bit more freedom. If you can make better choices, you get a little bit more freedom. If you don't, I'm going to take away a little bit more freedom. Well, she was down to by about her middle to near her end of her senior year. She was down to about that many choices she had in her life. We had just been going at it, time after time, just disobeying, just disrespectful, calling me all kinds of names, telling me she hated me, telling me we were the worst. I mean, you name it, it happened. So it was near the end of the, I was near the end of it. And I said, man, this is it. Man, I, and she, once again, she disobeyed some rules. And so I said to Joyce, I said, when that girl gets in, she is in for it. I mean, I'm taking away her life. I mean, I'm going to kill her. It's going to be over. I said, I am done. I'm finished with this. And so she came in. I said, Kayla, come on over here. I want to talk to you. And I was steaming. She goes, nope. And up she went. It lit every fuse in my body, man. I was like, everything. So I was flying up the steps. I mean, I looked at Joyce, and I know Joyce was down there. Don't kill her, you know, but I was so mad. I'm flying up the stairs. About halfway up the stairs, I felt the Holy Spirit say, love her. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. And up the stairs, I went up again, man. I was flying up those steps, and I was like, I'm going to kill this kid. I mean, I had it with the disrespect. I was done. At the top of the steps, I felt the Holy Spirit say, give grace again. You know what I remembered? I remembered two things. One, I remember when my dad did this and gave me grace. And I also remember what Jesus did when he went to the cross and he said, grace to you. And I just felt convicted. I said, God, you want me to love her? Oh, I had to pray for a couple minutes. And I prayed for those couple minutes. I walked into her bedroom. I didn't ask if I could come in. I walked in, and she was stiff. I mean, she was ready for a fight. She was braced. It was like, come on, Dad, let's bring this on. And I walked over, and I was calm. I said, I just want to let you know, your mom and I love you. Wrapped my arms around her. And just started speaking life over her. I said, you know how much God loves you? You know the plans God has for you? The only reason we're going down this path, Kayla, is because we believe God has a future for you, a bright future, and he has this for your life. And I started speaking life and grace and love over that girl's life. And you know, it took me minutes, but man, after that chisel, man, she didn't want me to hug her at all. After a while, she just loosened up and she just embraced. And we sat there and we bawled together and cried together. And she changed. That very moment, by God's grace, by God's love, by the power of forgiveness. You know, today, she's 30 years old, single in Florida. She calls me 5-6 times a week, and we chat for half hour at a time. She's now serving at a church. She's loving it. She's going to church, getting involved. She wants to go on missions trips. God's changed her life dramatically. She calls me, her dad, her best friend. Where does that happen? That happened by what? The grace and the love of God. That's what we all can experience. That's what we all can have today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your amazing love, for grace for us, that you stretch your arms wide for us, for our salvation, God, for our grace. Thank you, Lord, regardless of first, second, third generation Christians, God, we can start that spiritual legacy like my mom and dad did years and years and years ago. We can do that. Or, Lord, if we're second or third or fourth generation, we can increase it and grow it in our families. God, I pray blessing on every dad, every guy here today in a powerful way. Now, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to say, Bob, today's my day. I want to start that spiritual journey. That spiritual legacy. Or maybe you've just drifted from God. It's been a long time. You say, Bob, today's my day. I want to come back to God. I just need to return to the Lord. If that's you, just slip up your hand right now all over the auditorium, and I just want to have a simple prayer with you. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you up front, but if that's you, you want to say, Bob, today, I'm going to say yes. I want to give my heart to the Lord. Yeah, all over the place. Guys, hands going up. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Amen. Let's pray as a congregation all together. Let's pray this. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for each one that raised their hand, each guy here. Lord, bless them in a powerful way, all the dads. God, we thank you for your amazing love and grace for us. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.